16 days until the draft, buddy, and thank God, because we need something new to talk about.
Yes, sir.
But we do have Dave Choate, the Falcoholic, on the show tonight to help talk. Well, he's going to give us his opinion on the offseason, the signings, the free agency, going into the draft, what his takes are and everything. So, yeah, let's get started, man.
Let's go.
And welcome in, folks. It is episode 168 of Out of Your Falcon Mind, Atlanta Falcons Fancast. My name is John, one of your hosts, joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Cottrell, on a Tuesday night. Buddy, what's going on?
On a Tuesday night, man, you making me want to go get one of those Braves shirts, man. That is epic. That is the best one they have that I've ever seen.
Well, yesterday was the 50th anniversary of Hank Aaron's 715th home run. So they did a huge thing at Truist Park, honored him. So I figured I'd just break out the Hank Aaron jersey for
that
tonight.
Awesome, man. That is the best one I've ever seen. I got to give me one of those.
Yeah, I love it. This is my favorite version of their one of my, but the baby blue is really good too. For their the old.
Yeah, better than that one?
It's neck and neck. I mean, I like this one.
I got to check it out. I got to get that one though. I'm getting that one.
Baby Blue is pretty damn sweet. But yeah, man. So we got our boy, Mr. Dave Choate. We're bringing to the show right now from the Falcoholic with us tonight, man. Dave, what's up?
Not much. Good to be back. 168. It's crazy.
Right?
We're still going, buddy. We're still going. We're still going strong.
Man, Dave was on at, I think he was on at like 4 or 5 or 6. So he was on one of the early ones where it was just me, John, and a microphone.
Yeah, no, you know what? He wasn't that early because I was too afraid to reach out. I was like, he'll never come on our show because we have like 16 viewers at the time. Yeah. Like, there's no way. And then I reached out and he was like, dude, yeah, I'd be glad to. I mean, I think you said you were overdue and it blew me away. I was like, no shit. All right, well, hell, let's do it. So, yeah,
the first 2 years I wrote, there was like the same two people, you know. It was the pre nudes and bio era, but people were, you know, spam comments and stuff like that. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, no, but Dave, I think this is what your third or fourth time actually on the show. Might be the fourth. Yep. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So, but yeah, we've been trying to link up. You know, everybody knows Mike and I's schedule has been kind of crazy. Obviously, you know, your schedule is what it is with the Falcoholic doing stuff. Even though this is a dead time of year. You know, you've still been putting out a ton of content. So what tell the folks that are in the chat now or watching now, what have you guys been into at Falcoholic?
Yeah, I think we're all geared up for the draft, right? So I know Kevin Knight's got a new mock on the way. He's doing all things draft, gearing up for 3 straight days of draft shows. I'm always amazed he can talk by the end of that. But and then,
I know.
You know, from my end, just trying to figure out if we're getting any more signings or not. Wrote something earlier this morning about how Terry does not like to have needs going into the draft, which we know. Mm-hmm. But even if it's not super satisfying to sign, you know, 2 guys who haven't played in 2 years and so forth, you know, he's going to plug those holes and he's doing it. So,
yeah,
we'll see what's next. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's your favorite time to write, like in the whole like yearly process?
It's probably the draft, honestly.
The draft, okay.
Yeah, and I love during the season. Like, there's a routine, so everything keeps going. And
yeah,
you know, early in the season, before you know things go south, it's a lot more fun. not this year, but you know, years past. Yeah, but the draft is great because, like, to me, it's just like a time of possibility. You don't know what's gonna happen. Like, you gotta learn really quickly who these guys are, sometimes how they fit, you know, why they're here. So that's always I think my favorite time of the year, just because everything seems possible for a little while.
There you go.
Hope is like for sure at the top of everybody's list this time. You know you think about who you can get and what the team can look like and possibly what we can possibly do. But guys, tonight on the show, we have what's new as always. Then we'll have, like I said, Dave's take on free agency and the draft coming up and just his opinion. We're going to talk about the new, we were going to talk about it, the new kickoff rule like a week or two ago. And we just, I think with Savion, we just got too busy, didn't really talk about it, but we'll talk about it tonight because it is interesting. It's definitely going to be a change for the game, so we'll talk about that. And welcome in any new viewers, any new listeners, and we appreciate you guys. If you are here, hit the like button, hit the subscribe if you haven't already, man. We appreciate y'all hanging out with us and talking Falcons. We are here every week pretty much throughout the year. In the season, you'll see us twice a week doing a preview and a recap of the game for that week, and then we'll when we have time, we'll throw out videos. And you know, I was doing some free agency stuff, and then schedule got nuts. Couldn't keep doing it. Call it a day. I'm going to try my damnedest to get a couple of draft videos out, but I don't know if that's going to work. But I'm gonna do my best. And if you're listening to us, man, drop us a 5-star review on any of the platforms that you can there. And again, anybody watching this on Twitter, you guys, your comments will now show up on the chat. So if you want to comment, feel free to join the chat, and we'll shout you out on there. So before we even get into it, man, let's just say hi to the chat. Kenny, what's
Kenny, up? What up? He said, what up, fellas, and everyone in the chat. Let's make sure we smash that like button for our boys out of your Falcon mind, because they always cooking like 30F, baby. I love it. Kenny. What's up,
Kenny? Thank you, buddy.
Birdo, what's up? Out of your Falcon mind, my brothers. What's popping? Salute to the grave. Great day, Joe.
Hey, make sure y'all
get a cold Joe.
He had a great show today on Bleacher Report. Make sure y'all check out when he goes live on Bleacher Report. He's doing a hell of a job over there, as well as his own channel, 95 North Falcons Talk Show. Hopefully, it was cracking, buddy.
Hopefully, Double H, Birdo, Kenny Chat was good. Brian said, good evening, Brian, John. Mike, he came formal. Gat boy, what up?
What's up, boy? Midas, what's crowding, man?
Good Midas. You got that Midas touch. That yeah, I brick, appreciate you, I told you, the Brave Blue is, I've got to give me one of those.
Yeah, I don't break this out very often. Like, I got to keep the Hank. I got to keep the Hank.
Where did you get that from, John?
I mean, I've had it for a few years now. I probably got it at the stadium. Yeah.
Okay.
It's I got to keep the 44 clean. I can't wear it to games and get ketchup and mustard on it. I can't risk it. So, you know, gotta be careful with that. Man, Gary, what's going on?
Up?
Good to see you.
Excited for the show tonight.
Dr. Slick Nuts. What's cracking,
man? Dr. Slick Nuts. Great name, buddy. Vamos, bravos.
I love the name. And yeah, we're up 4-0 right now. I got the Braves on the other screen going on right now. So everything's looking good. Hopefully we hold a lead tonight, unlike last night. All right. Now, what's new, man? Today is National Grandparents Day, guys. National Grandparents Day. So if you guys have your grandparents in your life, man, reach out to them, give them a call. Cause you know, like I don't have any of mine, unfortunately, anymore. But damn it, like my grandpa was the man. Like anytime I wanted to go out and hit baseball, he was out there throwing baseballs with me every night. It didn't matter how tired he was. I'd ask, he'd go out there and he'd throw me baseballs. I'd hit him with the baseballs. I didn't mean to. I'd hit him. He'd keep throwing to me, man. So shout out to my grandpa, man. But just want to throw it out there, man. Mike, you got any cool memories?
I do want to say that I was supposed to have four. You know, you're supposed to have four. Well, I only had one my whole life and I didn't even notice. So that's how good she was. Because I didn't notice that I didn't have the other three. I only had one, and she was so good. And the greatest story I ever had is I remember I was in church one time, and she beat me. She spanked me in church, and then right after she spanked me, she said, you want some Skittles? And it just jammed my mind up. I don't know how I feel about my grandmother now. She spanked me and then offered me some Skittles, which is my favorite candy.
She immediately felt bad. She was like,
so she felt bad. I think she spanked me, and she felt bad, so she gave me some Skittles. So shout out to Grandma. I love you. And you got to be nice to your grandparents because you one day will be a grandparent. So call 100%. Them
up. And you know how long it'll be. Yeah, Dave, about you, buddy? Any cool memories or anything?
Oh, yeah. My great grandparents. I was lucky that way. But my grandfather was my favorite. Hung out with him all the time. And he was a painter. And I got a bunch of his paintings around my house. So
it's a cool
way to remember him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Yeah. Very, very cool. Yeah, man, that's awesome. Real quick, man. Also, I meant to mention the top of the show, but shout out to Chris, A1 Sports Forever, and Terry from One Time for the Fan, and Smitty. Mm-hmm. We did a little Braves talk the other day, and we did about an hour worth of Braves. Chris invited me on, man. It was fun. We're going to try to keep doing it as long as our schedules can kind of get together. Mm-hmm. But that was a fun, man. So shout out to those guys because that was a fun show. Berta said, damn, lost both grandfathers. I give it all up to have them here and be a part of some great conversations. Man, you're not lying, dude. You're not.
But they know so much, and they got so many stories. So you got to talk to them.
And when you're young, when you're a kid, you take a lot of that shit for granted. Like, you just kind of like, all right, Grandpa, you know. But then you get older, you're like, damn. Like, if I could just, like, have a conversation now, like, man, how cool would that be? Shout out to Don Staley, man, and the South Carolina women's team for going undefeated and perfect season, beating Iowa and insane ratings too. Dave, you see the ratings on that thing?
It's so awesome to see, man. Like, it's
amazing.
Yeah. People can say what they want about the women's game not being as popular. It clearly is. It's awesome, you know, and like great basketball start to finish.
Yeah, it was, man. It was awesome. And then I'm like, I know you used to be wrestling. Are you a wrestling fan at all?
No, I don't watch it anymore.
I know you don't even watch it anymore. But Dave, are you a wrestling fan at all?
I watch it occasionally. My college roommate was huge into it, so I did all the time, college, post-college, but not so much anymore.
It's the Ultimate Warrior for me, buddy. That's a long time ago.
Ultimate Warrior. So, no. I had the Palmer pin every single time. Yeah.
Your best, right?
Yeah, so, like, I grew up – well, Mike, we're all around the same age. So, like, when I grew up, back to my grandparents, my grandma and my grandpa, I go to their house, they loved it. And they thought that shit was, like, for real, real until the day they died. And if you try to tell them anything different, you get cussed out the house. You're like, nope, that's not happening. But, man, like, so I would watch – I go over there and watch WCW, like, on Saturday mornings, Friday nights, man. That's how I started with WCW. Then I got in WWF. But, like, the first couple of guys – like, I remember Ricky the Steamboat. The Mickey the Dragon Steamboat, Sting, like those guys are what got me into it initially, like WCW, like old school, Ric Flair, all those guys. And then I was heavy into it, probably into like just past like when Stone Cold and The Rock kind of dropped out of it. And, you know, like that next wave kind of came in, kind of like just lost interest. But I've been casually watching over a little bit. And then I watched WrestleMania this weekend. Biggest WrestleMania they've ever had up in Philadelphia. Shout out to Birdo. He went. Wrestling is real, damn it.
Okay.
They do get hurt. They do get hurt. But he went to Philly, man, and they it was awesome. It was just a really, mm-hmm. really damn good WrestleMania. So that was they broke all kinds of records with attendance and The Undertaker was there, John Cena came back.
Oh wow.
It was, I mean, The Rock obviously was there because he's was part of the storyline. So, like, yeah, that was cool, man. That was fun to see. Carrie, so grandparents are the best. I still have both my dad's side, but neither one on my mom's side. Mm-hmm. And fuck cancer. Absolutely. Yes. 100%. Yeah. Marlon, what's up,
Marlon? What up?
Hey, it's all good, buddy.
We just got going. Yeah.
Carrie, so which is your favorite painting, Dave?
That's a great question. I got one of, he did of Sunset. Like when he was like in his 20s or something like that, hanging up. I love that thing. It's awesome. Yeah, it's just like awesome. He painted like hundreds and hundreds of things. So just everybody in the family's got a bunch of them. It's great.
I love it. My sister, she's a painter as well, and she had she has an amazing like beach scene, which my parents had on their wall forever. I don't know. I think my mom still has it. She got every ounce of the artistic gene for that that they had. Like I got zero of it as far as that. Part of it goes, but yeah, she was amazing. Jay Black, what's up, buddy?
I can take photos, but my brother, my mom, they're the ones that they can paint, they can draw. I can't do stick figures even.
No, dude, mine are terrible. But the heads are not even circular. They look like some kind of weird watermelon. Yeah. It's not even right. Yeah,
you're like a second grader drew this, and you're proud of it. But it's me. It's the 40-year-old man, you know.
My kid was drawing better than me when he was in kindergarten, and it's not an exaggeration. Carrie said WrestleMania's main event was nostalgia. Oh, it was unbelievable. Brought back so many childhood memories for sure. And if y'all know, Cody Rhodes won the championship from Roman Reigns, who's Dusty Rhodes' son. So it was cool. It was had me tearing up a little bit at the end. I ain't gonna lie, I was a little emotional. She said, "Nice, yeah, that was good." Good call there with the sunset.
Speaking of what's new, though, speaking of childhood memories, I got to tell y'all what's new. That's super exciting. I saw it the other day. I almost backflipped and lost my mind. Beetlejuice is back, baby. Beetlejuice got a new movie coming out, baby. I don't know who's going to be Beetlejuice. I hope it's the same. Is that Michael Keaton?
It's Michael Keaton.
Is Beetlejuice again?
He's doing it again.
You got to bring the same characters back. Your Winona, you got to bring the same people back.
Yep,
I cannot
back.
Wait. I'll be the first one in the theater. I can't wait.
She's back. What's her name from Home Alone and Catherine O'Hara. She's back.
I cannot wait.
Yeah, and then Chick from Wednesday is in it too. I can't think of her name right
now.
Did you ever watch Wednesday on Netflix?
Jenna Ortega.
Jenna Ortega. Did you ever watch it, Mike?
What?
Wednesday on Netflix.
No, I haven't seen
it. Dude, you got to watch it. Did you see it, Dave?
I haven't, no.
Yeah, both of y'all got to watch it. Hell, that's awesome. They did a hell of a job with it, man. A really, really good job. All right. So some Falcons talk, and my dog's going apeshit if y'all can hear him. So what's new with the Falcons? they did sign a couple of guys, and Dave, we joked about it earlier today. We were texting. We're not going to spend a ton of time on these guys because I mean, they are kind of depth signings, but you know, we were going to mention them. So they signed Kevin King and James Smith Williams. So Kevin King hadn't played in 2 years, kind of like our buddy, Goldman, you know, he's 29 years old, 6'3", 200 pounds. He was a second rounder in 2017. Just never really panned out. Does have that history with Jerry Gray, there in Green Bay, 33rd overall pick. 2021, he only played 28% of the snaps, which was his last season. In 2019, he played 77% of the snaps and actually got five picks that year, but just never really, like I said, truly panned out how they wanted it to be. Really super low risk, high reward type of thing. I mean, you know, you're hoping that he can come back and do something, I guess, you know, have that second round type of talent. But yeah, it's about, I don't have a ton of, you know, faith that he'll make the roster, but you know, you, like I said, we need some corners in the room, so you never know. What's your thought, Dave?
Yeah, I think if he's going to succeed anywhere, right, there's three coaches on staff that coached him. Obviously, if those three guys want him here, they think there's something still there. And you know, the tragedy of 2021, I guess, was like that looked like it was tracking to be the season he figured it out. Like he graded out really well in coverage. You know, all of his rate numbers were much better that year, so he looked like he was heading for something. And then, you know, injuries piled up, didn't play the next year, got injured trying to come back last year. So, you know, it's kind of an Eddie Goldman situation where you're like, this guy was good a couple of years ago, we know him, we believe in him, but you as long as you don't go into the season going Kevin King is making this roster, and then you're like, oh, shit, Kevin King is not going to make this roster. I think you're okay. So same thing with Goldman, right? Like if both of them pan out, great. Just don't expect it to happen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he took what, a year off for like mental health reasons, and then he came back, tore his Achilles, and then, you know, basically spent the last year trying to get healthy. So, but like you said, with the crew that we have in the secondary, hopefully if anybody can get them right, they can. And then James Smith Williams from the Redskins was a free agent, 27 years old, 6'4", 265 pound edge. He was a seventh rounder in 2020. So the fact that he's even still in the league is kind of impressive, to be honest, because you don't see too many seventh rounders hanging around past 3 years. So the fact he's still in the league and somebody wants his services is a good thing. He's had 1, 2.5, and 3 sacks, respectively, in the last 3 years. He did have 16 QB hits in 2022, plays anywhere between 35 and 50% of the snaps. At least that's what he has been in his career. So, again, kind of a rotational type guy, assuming that he makes the roster. You know, that a depth piece that I'm never going to be mad, like we talked about it last week, I'm never going to be mad about adding depth on the defensive line, especially at edge. You know, and he may not contribute a ton in the pass rush, but I mean, you know, obviously, hopefully we're going to take somebody or somebody's in the draft that'll help us do that. But any thoughts on James, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it as I think I called him like the definition of a solid rotational guy, right? Like he's not a great pass rusher, he's not a great run defender, he's durable, he's reliable. Again, he's got that connection. Kyle Smith would have been involved in drafting him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're dropping him into a situation where right now you definitely don't have enough guys that you feel good about to cover all the snaps you need to fill up. And hopefully they're going to draft somebody and help with that. But this is a guy who will probably get 20 snaps a game, chip in on special teams, and be a perfectly fine player, and you're paying him absolutely nothing for that comparatively. So, yeah, I know it's not a needle mover. It's not something we're going to get excited about, but you never go wrong adding solid reserves. You just don't.
You can never have enough stock.
Nope.
You can never have enough stocks. So that's all it is. It's just new fans. It's just a good option. That's all it is.
No, it's just like pitchers in the Major League Baseball. You can never have enough pitchers. I mean, like, it's the same. These guys are so important to the team, just because we've seen before when we've had a thin line what that looks like.
Yep.
It's not a pretty thing. I mean, we can't get off the field ever. So, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, and, you know, Bud Dupree's still out there. I don't know, you know, I mean, I haven't – have you heard anything? Is there, I mean, any whispers, any chance, you know, I mean –
No, I was trying to figure that out the other day. You know, I think probably the Smith-Williams signing decreases the chances that he's coming back. I'd be happy to see him come back. I think he's a solid player. Had a good year for us last year. But at this point, not expecting it unless it's like post draft and they kind of whiff again on somebody they might want, which, to be fair, I know Terry's been chasing those pass rushers and it hasn't worked out. So there might still be some room for Bud Dupree.
Yeah. And Calais, I guess.
This is the cool part is like even 20 snaps keeps the greater players fresh.
Yes.
So it's still kind of useful.
It is. And like when you get a guy like Smith Williams, who, you know, as far as I'm aware, no major injury history, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you're going to get those 20 snaps.
Yep.
And it's a big deal.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
And I mean, nobody's still heard from Calais other than the fact that
come on, Calais, please.
They'd welcome him back. But, you know, it seems, I mean, from his perspective, you know, like last year, I think he thought we all thought going into the season, he probably wouldn't play as many snaps as he ended up playing. And obviously that was, you know, Grady going down, it kind of affected that because he moved some inside and also went outside. Mm-hmm. But, I think truly, barring knock on wood, any crazy injuries this year, he could come back and legitimately play not as many snaps as, you know, like kind of what the plan was last year. Yep. Keep Calais fresher, you know, and have some young guys help mentor, like all that stuff that he did last year with Zach Harrison, he could maybe do again this year. That's the hope at least. But I mean, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see. I don't blame him if he wants to wait, you know, and not take in OTAs.
Skip training camp, buddy. Skip training camp.
I mean, you know,
we just need you back, man. He had a blast on the field too, so I expect him to be back. I just think he got a mullet over. He want to skip training. Yeah, I expect him to be back. Chris, what up?
Oh, yeah, man. Chris, what's going on, buddy? Let's see. Hopefully, so I heard there not cap hits or no. Yeah, it's really no risk.
Stop, buddy.
Yeah, it's just high risk. If they pan out, great. If they don't, then it's not really that big a deal, you know. So,
Leon, what's up, buddy?
Good to see you, man. See. Hopefully, ask him how his curveball is. And he said, "Very good. I even fool my dad when I'm throwing." He does. If he doesn't tell me,
I'm throwing it, Johnny Yates. Come on, man.
It just happened a few times. I mean,
he's
like, he just caught me off guard, man.
Yeah.
All right. So, getting into free agency, Dave. We didn't talk obviously before that happened. So, were you happy with Kirk? Is that who you wanted, or like, what was your
dying to hear this, Dave. We will quote you. We will quote you and clip this and post it on off left. A quote from Choke. How do you feel about the Kirk Cousins thing?
Yeah.
The font's going to depend on the answer, right? Yeah. Like, you're going to be
course.
Like, the Doom font if I'm like, no, it's not.
I might put some, horror music behind it. Like, you know.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I'm good with that. Monster match.
Maybe. Right. Perfect.
I like the signing. I was hoping for a rookie, and like maybe that still happens. That's something that, you know, I have a level of investment in for this team, even if I know it seems a little ridiculous at this point with Cousins. But for a short-term option for what Zach Robinson wants in his quarterback, for, you know, this cast of playmakers that is dying to have somebody throw them the football where it is supposed to go, like, you know, that's all basic stuff, but Kirk Cousins is really good at it. Like, I it's really funny to me that we did like the big Matt Ryan circle where it was like, we got to get rid of 36-year-old Matt Ryan.
Yep.
Here's 36-year-old Kirk Cousins. But, you know, irony aside, you know, you're basically paying him for 2 years. You can make that third year work. You can get out from it. It's a little painful if you have to. So I think, you know, as a short-term move to get this team back to contention, to take advantage of a window, the time that you have Robinson here before potentially he's out for another job, it's a really good signing. Am I going to be happy a couple of years from now if they don't have a long-term option and Kirk is breaking down? No, but we can worry about that, I guess, you know, in a month, in a year, whatever it may be. So I do like the signing.
Question, Dave. So we have Kirk, and you say you want a young guy, which is the same thing I want. If you had to take in like the later rounds, if there was a guy who you knew was still going to be there in the second, third, fourth, or whatever, who would you take for like a project to sit behind Kirk to see if he would pan out? Who would still be available?
Yeah, and I'm gonna say Penix, but that's with the caveat that I don't know if he's going to be available in the second round.
Okay.
I definitely don't think he'll be available in the third. I think if you're talking waiting later than that, I'd take the shot on Spencer Rattler. I think he's an interesting player, a little bit erratic, but you can smooth some of that out hopefully with time. But to me, you know, if you're going to run this offense the way that Zach Robinson wants it run, you're going to try, if he does move on, to have a protege take over who's going to run a similar offense. The guy that you want is Penix. Like, I see the arm, I see the smarts, I see the ability. I know he's a little bit older, I know he's got the injury history, but like in terms of the continuity there, he's the guy that I think, you know, with a couple of years in the system, could be really good in it. So he's the guy that, again, if you want to take one as early as the second round and he happens to be there, I would take him. Otherwise, I think, you know, the interest in Rattler's probably real and he's probably the guy a little bit later on.
So here's the question, Dave, that's going to get you unfollowed by multiple people, okay?
Nothing new.
Would you take Penix at 8?
No.
Absolutely. He said he didn't even think about that. I was shocked that you said no.
No.
You got to add, you know, I view this as a prime opportunity to add an impact defender. Or to trade down a little bit and do it. To me, you'd have to go a long way down from 8 for me to be comfortable with Penix at that point. And, you know, I know it's kind of silly to say like, oh, you'd take him in the second, or you'd even trade back up to the end of the first, which I've said I'd do, but you won't take him at 8. Well, to me, again, it's an opportunity cost. It's the player you're passing up to take Penix, knowing that Penix probably doesn't help you until a year, 2, 3 years from now.
You think that,
and he keeps his followers smooth, Dave. Smooth.
I don't know. Somebody's unfollowing me right now. They're angry.
Dude, we can't even get to, we were trying to get to 2000 on Twitter, and it's like we go. It was like 1995 back to 1984, 1986, 1990. I was like, I don't understand, but it's fine. But yeah, now if they did that, do you think that makes Kirk like kind of raise an eyebrow, like? What the hell if they take Penix in the second round, or like, you know, how do you think that might make him feel?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would hope, you know, that Kirk is aware of where he is in his career. He's aware of the situation, and he's also confident enough that he's a good enough player to keep Penix on the bench for 3 years. And maybe that's not ideal from a team building perspective, because you've only got one cheap year with Penix, but if I'm Cousins, I don't view that as a short-term threat. I view that as a guy who's gonna learn from you, who is in no danger of taking over for you. And it's reasonable insurance for a 36-year-old guy coming off a major injury, the first one of his career. So, you know, I don't know Kirk Cousins well enough. Maybe he seethes. Maybe this becomes a huge problem. Maybe he gets into, like, the Aaron Rodgers conspiracy theories. We've been way off course here. But I'm assuming he's mature enough not to do that. So it might bug him a little bit, but hopefully just, fans the flames, or he takes it in stride.
That would be a storyline nobody would see coming if Kirk goes off the deep end and goes toward Aaron Rodgers' way of thinking, that's for sure. Well, I mean, looking at kind of like, I guess, expectations, or what your expectations like currently as we're constructing, obviously we're going to add in the draft. We're going to talk about the draft in a few minutes, but what are your expectations going into this year? Like South, pretty much like, yes, win the South, has to be it. Or what are you looking at?
Yeah, I think you've got to be there for the South, right? They've announced that they want to. I know it's a priority for Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot. You know, Fontenot wants to show that the roster he's built is good enough to do this after the last couple of years. Morris is not kicking around thinking I can wait a couple of years after waiting that long to get back into the head coaching ranks. And nobody on this roster wants to suffer through another underachieving year. So to me, yes, you got to be in contention to win the South. Hopefully you're going to win the South. I think that's the expectation. And I still look at the rest of this division and I don't see, you know, a credible threat outside of maybe Tampa Bay.
Talk it, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, though, like, look, you know, I know the Panthers have had a good offseason. It would take a huge step forward from that coaching staff, from Bryce Young, to really turn that into anything. The Saints are old and terrible and expensive, and then Bucks are Baker Mayfield or bust, you know. So, it won't be that smooth. It won't be that easy, but they should win the South. They should have won the South a year ago.
Yep.
I think they'll win the South this year. Assuming.
So I got a question, Dave. Are you inside of your Falcon mind or are you out of your Falcon mind? Like, what's the ceiling? I need to know the ceiling. Like, if everything go right, what's the ceiling?
We going to the Super Bowl, motherfucker.
That's, you know what I'm going to say. Super Bowl. Undefeated. Come on, Dave. Like, the ceiling is what?
Anything if is it all goes right, Christ.
If it gels perfectly, what are you saying?
Yeah, I think the best case scenario this year is like a 13-4 season. I think if everything breaks right, best season since a long time ago. Yeah, no.
Oh.
I mean, you got to build the defense out a little bit more, but I don't see any reason why if you do that and Kirk Cousins is healthy, this can't be that, you know, that 11-13 win season. Finally, I do think it's there.
Yeah, I'm going to tell y'all something. I don't know how he like writes, because if you speak to somebody who writes, it's always like they like got to stay here. He's out of his Falcon mind, but he still got to write. So he got to dull it down in order to be able to write an article. Because he can't just say we going to the Super Bowl in every article. So I admire that, Dave.
I mean, yeah, they have a good year this year, though. I might start writing it. We'll see.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah, and, I mean, you look at the Bucks too. It's like, I mean, Dave Canales just, you know, their offensive coordinator left to go to the Panthers. So, you know, we don't know how that's going to be for that new offense, I guess, basically, in Tampa Bay. So how that's going to work too. I mean, they did obviously re-sign Baker and Evans came back, which sucks, but you know, they're a year older. That defense is a year older. I mean, Devin White's gone.
Yep.
I mean, that's those big linebackers are getting split up. So, I mean, like, you know, it's, you know, that helps. I'm just never going to be upset about that. Mm-hmm. The other signings, how do you, I mean, Rondale Moore and, you know, Darnell Mooney, like how were you feeling about those guys?
Yeah, so that was such a weird trade, right? Like, you hear Desmond Ridder's getting traded, you're like, all right, well, you know, third day pick, and then it's Rondale Moore. But I like it. I think Moore is he's an intriguing guy. You can use him in a bunch of different ways. That speed plays extremely well, and I think Mooney is an underrated acquisition. And I think that even though he's gotten plenty of hype, right? Like, this is a guy that he needed a player like Kirk Cousins. You know, just the accuracy with the deep balls was something that, you know, Fields, it came and went a little bit, and Mooney was kind of phased out of the offense a little bit. When things were clicking with Fields, he had some great times. And last year wasn't one of those. Looking for the change of scenery, lands in Atlanta, surrounded by playmakers again with that game changing speed. Like, that's a really good signing to me. And again, the way it's structured, you're here for Kirk Cousins' window. And that third year is kind of optional. So it depends on how things are going.
Yeah, a lot of people were upset about that contract. And that's why I was telling them, like, it's not that. I mean, he got maybe a little bit higher than you thought, but it's not like we're not in it for three. And if we are, then that means things are going really well. And we're not, and that's okay. I mean, we're cool with it. So, yeah, I agree with you. And then, you know, it sucked to see CP go to the Steelers, which was hilarious, kind of, that they went to the Steelers. Well, but hate to see him leave. But, you know, getting, you know, McLeod coming in, kind of like maybe that version, you know, very good kick returner, good punt returner. So, you know, maybe that's kind of our younger version, you know, I guess, of him. And Moore does similar things too, like you were saying. I mean, he can line up in the backfield. He can line up outside, inside. You know, didn't really live up to kind of that second round billing he had, you know, coming in, you know, into Arizona. But again, they've had some ups and downs with that offense out there with Kyler, and Kyler getting hurt. So, you know, you don't really know kind of what you know, I don't know if he really, you've seen the best of what he can do, you know, with a good quarterback. So yeah, I agree with you. What's your favorite outside of Kirk, favorite signing? Is it the Mooney signing?
Definitely Charlie Warner, right? Like, just big time Charlie Warner. That's my boy.
Big time Charlie Warner.
It's definitely the Mooney signing, though. Like, I just think what we've seen, even over the last 3 years where it was not really a huge emphasis, like, you know, the Damier Birds, the Scotty Millers, like, the speed plays really well, even when it's inconsistently used, and certainly when the accuracy comes and goes. So for somebody like Cousins to stump for Mooney to come here, Mooney being excited to come here, the offense being built to feature that speed, like, I'm really excited to see what he can do.
So I got a great question for you, Dave. Who do you think, who's already on the team, who's like a young guy, who's going to have the greatest jump from last year to this year? Like, who you think is just going to take off?
Yeah, I think it'll probably be I kind of go back and forth between Pitts and London, but I think it's ultimately going to be London because he's already consistently shown he's that caliber of player. Mm-hmm. And I think he's been hurt a lot by that quarterback play. So you take somebody like Mooney as a credible threat opposite him, which he hasn't really had the last couple of years. And you take, you know, hopefully that third year leap from him. And he's a guy I can see like really blossoming this year. And the floor is already pretty high for him. So I'm expecting huge things for London.
I love it.
Agreed. Yeah. And I mean, and what that speed, like you said, can do to for him opening up. Main stuff that he wasn't used to. I mean, we had speed in Scotty Miller and Van Jefferson. It just wasn't ever used. And when they were open, they didn't get the ball. So it's kind of just, you know, it was like banging your head against the wall. And we got to mention too, Kyle Pitts, that he was basically awarded the Ed Block Courage Award, which is essentially the award given to a player on each team who is viewed as role models of inspiration, sportsmanship, and courage. So like we said before, man, like Kyle was going through some extra stuff last year with his knee that nobody really knew, nobody really let on. Dave, when I was watching the 22s and doing the breakdowns for the show, it was like obvious. I mean, it was like, man, he either does not give a shit anymore or like his knee is still really messed up. You know, it was one of those things because he just did not look the same. I mean, he was coming out of cuts so just not explosive, just really kind of slow. And I was like, man, what the hell? But yeah, I mean, you know, we've already talked about it before, but you know, he come down and said, you know, he also had a PCL, which is a much bigger deal than like an MCL. So I mean, like, if that's the case, then yeah, I mean, he was definitely hurting. And you know, I guess it kind of even, you know, I guess you could question, you know, why was he even out there as much as he was last year? But I think he's in for a huge season, and like just the fact that his teammates awarded him that says a lot. So pretty much says all you need to know, like how hard he probably worked behind the scenes that nobody ever said anything. And Arthur was extremely cryptic or just not forthcoming with any information anyway when it came to that kind of stuff. So it was like he didn't really know what was going on regardless, you know. And he, of course, Kyle didn't say anything. He didn't make any excuses for it, and then he waited till after the season and said it. So, you know, good for him.
Yeah, and at that age too, like, you know, getting that kind of award, being through the ups and downs in your career, really having your potential, your effort questioned, and kind of powering through that, like it says a lot about him. He's a guy who has always seemed, you know, mature for his age, especially being in the situation he's in. So, you know, I kind of pick London as the breakout guy, but I am expecting big things from Pitt, and I'm hoping for big things from Pitt. I think he deserves that kind of year.
Yeah.
You a decoy, and man, you know that because you hurt. And like the coach understand that because you hurt, but everyone else is dragging you.
All the time.
Everyone else is dragging you, and you understand, the coach understand, but no one else is like, he fell off. He might not be all that like we thought he was. So shout out to him for staying humble and staying poised. And I expect him to, man, when he get healthy, we haven't seen what Kyle Pitts can do yet. So it's going to be amazing to see. We have not even seen a quarter of what the man is capable of. So that's going to be amazing.
Yeah, we got a glimpse in year one with Matt. You know,
that was it.
You know,
you said with who, John?
With Matt. That guy, Matt, you know? Number two. Marlon.
What I said. I got to give me one of those, Johnny Yates. I love that, man.
They put one more on the board now. It's five. But he commented on that earlier. But, yeah.
Are they 5-0, John?
It's up. They're up 5-0 right now. Yeah.
Okay.
They're 6-3 on the season. But, yeah. Okay. All right. So, getting into the draft. And since the great quarterback whatever you want to call it, civil war amongst the fan base is now pretty much over with. And they've, you know, whether you wanted Kirk or didn't want Kirk, Kirk's our quarterback now. So that's kind of subsided. So now the great debate is who is the right edge to take at 8, or do we trade back, you know, and take another, you know, so and Berto's asking Dave, who is your preference at edge? And are you taking an edge at 8 on top of that, or do you want to trade back?
Yeah, if you could trade back a couple picks and still get your guy, sure, I'd do that. But, you know, as a guy who for 10 straight years, I think, in the SB Nation mock draft, picked an edge, just hoping, praying. I'm picking one for sure. And my guy actually is Verse, Jared Verse. And it has been since last year when I was hoping he would come out and the Falcons would get him. I don't, you know, I think it's one of those cases where, like, sometimes you have these debates and it's really obvious, like, one guy is so much better than the other, but the lesser guy's got, you know, fans and stands and everybody's fighting over nothing, essentially. Like, this is a fair debate, right? Like, I don't see Verse come up as often as Turner or Latu, but to me, like, he's got that ideal, like, combination of traits, right? Like, he's just a really good all-around player. You kind of expect him to be really good from day one. Maybe he doesn't have quite the upside, you know, that the other two have if everything breaks right. But, like, if you have to bring in a guy that you think is going to be really good right off the bat and do a little bit of everything you need him to do, that to me is Verse, and that's the guy that I would prefer. Am I going to be upset if they end up with Dallas Turner or Latu? No, absolutely not. Like, all three guys, potential to be really good pass rushers, and the Falcons desperately need a really good pass rusher. So you're not going to hear me complain if they end up with one of those three guys or even a corner, which I think is a possibility too. But me personally, I'm taking Verse.
Yeah, I mean, I did see that Terrion Arnold was visiting, corner out of Alabama was visiting. So, I mean, and he will be a first rounder, you know, so that's, like you said, that corner is a possibility. Like you, I think we've all been wanting edge, or like last year, like we were, Jalen Carter was kind of the hope, you know, and then like, you know, that just never, any time you think that they're going to, I don't think I've ever got it right. Like the first round pick, I don't think I've ever got right. I mean, I've gotten later round picks right, but never the first round pick. And it's like they always just seem to blow. I got, you know, I in 16 or what, 17, Keanu Neal. No way in hell I expected Keanu Neal to be the pick at that, you know, and, you know, good safety, but it's not at all what I was thinking was going to happen, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, and I see everybody going back and forth and about it. And there's some that are just like, you know, feet in the sand. This is my guy, but the other two guys are not going to work. And that's not how I see it either. I agree with you. Like, I'm not going to be upset if it's either any three of those guys, because they all have good traits. They all have their things they have to work on. And my guy's been Turner for a while, and it's not just because it's Alabama, Mike. But it's like, but you know, he, top tier athleticism at every category. And I've said before, the only thing that worries me really, I mean, honestly, is his size, because, you know, like I would love to see him put on 10 pounds and get to 260. If you tell me he's 6'3", 260, and I know that's going to maybe cut into his speed a little bit more, but still, like, you know, I've seen the guy progress watching him every game, you know, Alabama. But I do think that Verse and Latu probably offers you a quicker return on investment. Like, if I think those guys are both ready to step in and, nothing else, because of their size, because of the traits that they have, that power, you know, and Latu with his hands and stuff like that. Like, that's stuff that, you know, Turner can develop more into. He's got a hell of a, you know, we've talked about on the show before, his arms are forever long. He can one arm guys. He's not just a one trick pony. He's, you know, like I've said before, he's not Vic Beasley. They are different guys. You know, like he can rush the passer a lot differently than what he did. So it's like, you know, I'm totally cool either way. But if I had the choice, it's like, you tell me Turner is there at eight, but Verse and Latu still out there, and say, and I was listening to Kevin Knight on the Dirty Birds and Brews podcast. And it was a good show talking about, like, basically the chances of us trading back and who might want to be teams that could trade back or could be interested. And basically the Broncos were one, the Jets were one. And what was the third one? You remember what the third one was, Dave? Maybe Minnesota, I think was it.
Yeah. I think Minnesota. Yeah. Hoping to pick up those two first round picks. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So those are legit possibilities that those teams are want to move up, and we don't know how the first seven is going to fall, obviously, but like that's a possibility. And honestly, if Turner is there and those other guys, like, yeah, I'm okay. Get the extra pick, move back, take Verse, take Latu, and they're going to, I'm going to shed a tear just because Turner was my guy. Like, I'm totally fine with it. And
we also desperately need, this is unrelated, but we desperately need one of these guys to get drafted and work out, because
yes,
the comparisons to Beasley and Tack for every single player the Falcons consider drafting, like, man, that has to stop. We got to get somebody successful to point to. Like, I can't do it. I can't see, you know, the Vic comparisons for another guy who's like 270 pounds. I can't do that.
No, man. And it's, and I get everybody's kind of like gun shy about it because yeah, we haven't had success drafting him in forever. But it is a different regime. It's a different coaching staff, like all that stuff, you know, goes into play, but it's like quarterbacks, man. Like you don't know until they're on the field and they're like, you just have to, you know, bet on the, on those high end traits and hope to God they work out, you know, but I would, to me, it's either edge or corner. I mean, I know receiver's been talked about, but honestly, I cannot see them going receiver at eight. I mean, they could, but I just don't see it happening. I mean, I mean, you agree with that, Dave? You think corner probably the second option there?
I think so. You know, I can see the appeal of wide receiver. Like, I definitely can. This is a killer class, but I do think you can get somebody later. And I do think that, you know, the way that they have gone through this offseason suggests they are not expecting to draft one at eight. So it would surprise me for sure.
Yeah, I hear you. Marlon said Joe Milton is a later round quarterback. Yeah, he has a cannon. I mean, he's definitely he's probably, and I've said it before, he's probably a bigger project than anybody else in the draft just because rocket arm, but everything else he's got to get better at. But I mean, you know, if you want to take a longer shot on that, hey, that's fine. Hey,
thank you, Dave.
So hit that like button, y'all. Dr. Slicknut says, so glad Washington lost that final. Now his stock is slipping, talking about Penix. If they won it, I know everyone would be hyping him up. That's true. And now he can follow. The fact he didn't have a great game definitely didn't help him at all. Because, if he had won that game, you're talking about him probably going in the top 10 at this point. You know, but the fact that, you know, he didn't and didn't look that great, you know, and I still have the injury concerns a little bit, I guess. You know, some teams might, you know, he could fall, you know. I mean, so it takes us to the second round. I mean, like, if we do go edge and the second – so this is what happened in our mock draft. So let me see if I can find our mock draft. Oh, well, I got it. I'm falling. So we went edge. We went ahead and just took Turner at eight. He was there. We took him. We didn't have any really good options to trade back. So we were just like, all right, you know, we'll just take him. But we got to the second round, and our hope was to take corner there. But all the good corners, the really good corners we wanted were kind of gone. So it was kind of like, okay, so now what do we do? And it was, do we take a really good wide receiver, which we also have we still have a need there at wide receiver. So we ended up taking Xavier Leggett from a sucker, you know, which is, again, athletic freak, fast, big guy, you know, been compared to DK Metcalf by some people, you know, like, okay, you know, and we got kind of dragged by a few people, like not going, like, why would you not go defense in the second? Well, I mean, I'm not going to reach for a corner that, you know, just because we need it, I'm not going to reach for a guy that you may be able to get equally comparison, you know, in the third, you know what I'm saying? So like we went ahead and took him, we ended up taking, and we didn't take a corner until the fifth round when we had Kyrie Jackson, fourth round, I'm sorry, Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon. That was when we finally had a good, like, we could, you know, so basically we went first round Dallas Turner, Xavier Leggett, second pick, Brandon Dorlus, another edge out of Oregon who can play anywhere from the 2 to 7 technique. I mean, big guy to 280 pounds. And then Dwayne Carter out of Duke, you know, big defensive tackle. And we took him at the 79th pick. So we didn't really, like I said, we didn't find a good corner till that fourth round, which, I mean, could be a possibility. That could actually fall that way. If, you know, if a run on corners start, it could go. And I don't want Terry or anybody to take a reach of the guy if they're not all in. I'd rather take that high end wide receiver at second round. But what would you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes a ton of sense. And it also, the way that they've approached corner, like they want to add young talent. I have no doubt they'll draft somebody, but they're pretty well covered. Like Antonio Hamilton was a solid starter for 9 games last year for Arizona. He did pretty well against the Falcons. You know, you've got King as a flyer, and you've got Clark Phillips and D. Alford, who I think are both good players. I really like Clark Phillips.
Me
I think
too.
He'll win a starting job if he's given a fair shake at it. So to me, you don't have to go out and draft that guy, you know, in the second round. You don't have to push for it. And, you know, you guys are living the spirit of Terry Fontenot by not being, you know, reaching for a need, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, Terry Fontenot does not want to have to be. Nobody puts Terry in the corner, right? Like, you're not going to do that to the guy. So
He said, "We going to the show." Double A said, "We going to the show." Hit that like button, y'all.
Matt Down, what's
Matt
up?
Down.
Good to see you, man. Yeah, I mean, and you know, to me, like, you know, it needs to be a defensively heavy draft. You know, like, I mean, I definitely want to see a receiver in there. If they wanted to get a quarterback, we didn't end up taking a quarterback in our draft. We Jordan Travis kept falling, he kept falling, and we're like, you know what? Undrafted free agent.
We tried to, John. Remember, we tried it.
Yeah, we tried to. We, you know, there was a couple of guys. We almost took Milton, and he got drafted. I think he got drafted by the Patriots.
Yeah, the Patriots. Late, got
maybe the sixth or seventh round. And so we were like, you know what? We'll get an undrafted free agent, which is something they could possibly do as well. You know, like one like Jordan, Travis could be legit one of those guys because of the injury. You know, he just falls completely out of the draft, and somebody, you know, picks him up afterwards, and that could be what we do as well. Because there's not an immediate need for a QB, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, so I wouldn't be upset if they took a late flyer on a QB. But my hope is trade back, pick up an extra day two pick, you know, still get your edge rusher that you want, and just keep stocking those guys, man, on the defensive side of the ball. Because, and we haven't talked, and safety to me, safety's not really strong in this draft this year. But I do think that Richie needs some competition there, like or just flat out be replaced. And I don't know that DeMarco's the guy yet. I would love it to be, but I don't know that he's there yet. But Dave, what do you see them doing at safety? Richie's spot.
I mean, if you look at free agency right now, like there's a lot of guys out there. Like mm-hmm. There are guys that I would feel comfortable starting, still readily available. This is one of those things where, like, you know, everybody was saying Bates last year, like, oh, you know, the safety market seems like every year it's a little bit flooded. So to me, like, that's where you go, free agency, right? And maybe at this point you can wait until after the draft to see where you're at, just because mm-hmm. there doesn't seem to be a ton of movement on that front. But that's where I would look. I would look for a veteran guy to bring in to push, you know, Grant and Helms, and then really set yourself up to have a good group of four safeties. Because, you know, if you bring in a guy who's a starter and Helms and Grant are your backups, like, that's great. Grant's a really good special teamers. Helm is a great special teamer. Yeah. And both of those guys can start, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you're somebody like Raheem Morris, like Jimmy Lake, and you feel good about your ability to develop, you've got a couple of young guys that maybe just need a little bit of time to do so. So I can't see them drafting one. Maybe I'm wrong, but to your point, it's not a great draft for it. Free agency is full of options. Like, wait until early May and go get your guy.
Yeah, I'm with you. And do you see them all? I mean, they're going to have to, I would imagine, restructure some contracts, you know, whether it's, you know, Jake or Lindstrom or whoever. I mean, like, I would assume a couple of those are going to happen, right, to sign these guys?
At least one, yeah.
At least one.
Yeah, because I think you're just going to run out of money for the draft class pretty soon at the rate they're going. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whose deal they're going to touch. I'll be interested to see because, you know, with Matthews, like, do you keep betting on, you know, just like that solid, durable play? Or are you a little bit concerned that at some point that starts to fall off? Because so you don't want to touch that deal.
Right. True. And then what J Diaz says here, drafting a QB or O-lineman is the same for me. I don't see the point if they're, like, most likely going to sit. And O-line is also, I mean, like, we did pick up an O-line. We picked up a tackle, I think, in the fifth or sixth round. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know.
We need that.
Jake's not getting any younger. And, you know, and Dave, one of my only concerns, really, is McGarry. I mean, like, that's, you know, Kirk's not – if you don't want Kirk running anyway because he's – you don't want him to do anything to mess up Achilles up again. But, like, we've seen what McGarry can do against speed rush. It's not great. He got better last year. I'll give him that. He did improve. But, you know, I could see a world where they do, if not this year, next year, draft a elite or, you know, top offensive tackle, maybe move Jake to the right, back to where he played college ball. You know, and I know that's still going to be a change for him. I mean, I don't know if it was him or somebody had said, like, you know, if for a tackle, if going from left to right is like just some, I can't remember who said it, but basically said, like, imagine wiping your butt with a different hand. And, like, that's how awkward. I mean, if that's the case, that could be kind of damn awkward, you know, if you're trying to adjust to a new position. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, those two guys, I think you're going to have to address it in the next couple of years if it's not this year, you know. But I don't think it's, you know, if they see a window this year, next year, I don't think you got to do it right now, but, you know. Who knows? We'll see. Liam said Shaq Barrett's gone as well. Yeah. I mean, from that from that Bucks team. Yeah, for sure. All right, new kickoff rule, man. So we talked about, we didn't talk about what it was in the previous show. And if y'all don't know, they're going to what the UFL, I guess, is now, or XFL. Basically, the kickoff's going to be done from the 35. You're going to have the receiving team lined up. What was it, 10 yards from the other, from the kicking team, right? Yeah. Even that, where it is, 10 mm-hmm. yards? Yeah. So on the opposite side of the field, the ball has to be kicked into the landing zone, which is between the 20-yard line and the back of the end zone. If it's you can still like do a touchback. If it rolls into the end zone and they do a touchback, it comes out to the 20. If it's kicked into the end zone and they do a touchback, it comes out to the 30. If the ball is kicked out of bounds or doesn't make it inside the landing zone, then the ball comes out to the 40, which is huge for the offenses, obviously. So clearly they're trying to get the kickoff back, which I'm glad, because the kickoff was basically non-existent these last few years since they, you know, moved it up. And it's like, I forget who was on the show. It's like, yeah, normally I'll just go to the bathroom. I think it might have been Aaron Freeman. Like, I'll just go to the bathroom whenever they're here. Yeah. Cause I mean, nothing's going to happen, you know? So it's going to make guys like CP and, you know, hopefully our guys, you know, if Avery Williams comes back and we've got him and, you know, Rary McLeod back there, possibly that might be a legitimate thing. It's going to be fascinating to me though, to see how special teams coaches are going to, how this is going to evolve over the season. This is totally new for them. You know, how they're going to set up these blocks, who they're going to have out there doing, you know, like, it's just going to be wild to see. But Dave, were you happy with the change?
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by it. And I think the Falcons, you know, of course, everybody's like, my team is well positioned for this, but I do think the Falcons are right. Like, they do mm-hmm. have Williams, who I think is a really good returner, obviously more dangerous maybe on punts than kickoffs, but you added McLeod. I think you've got a couple of options for kickoffs between Koo and Pinion. They both handled it. It's a question of which one you want. Mm-hmm. I very much trust them to stock special teams effectively to have the right guys to take advantage of this. And mm-hmm. it is a work in progress, but, you know, coming out of this with a couple of really good returners, assuming that Williams is healthy, a couple of good kickoff options, like, you're in pretty good shape, and anything is better than watching Mike Hughes.
Oh my God, dude.
Try to return. God love Mike Hughes, but like that last year, kickoffs weren't just like an afterthought. They were, I'd better stay and watch this in case something really terrible happens, you know, exactly. And that's just not ideal. So I think it's, NFL's all over the place in terms of like player safety and like the value of rule changes, but this seems to be a good one for multiple reasons. Yeah.
Yeah. And Mike, we didn't talk about it too much. Are you excited to see it?
No. You don't take it out, man. Take it out and start at the 15. I say you just take it out and start at the 15. It's just a wasted thing at this point. I don't.
I want to see it. I want to see this change. I want to see how this works out, because this could be like at least exciting, you know, like it's, you know, and it should decrease the injuries, because they're not running full speed into each other. I mean, we'll see about the returner if he's mm-hmm. going full speed into somebody 20 yards down the field. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see how it, man, Mike, what's up, buddy? He said, Mike, thoughts on the Falcons linebacker core. If healthy, I personally believe they can have major impact on the defense. Yeah. Dave, thoughts on the linebackers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Ellis showed well last year. You've got Landman. That's really, really good depth. Obviously, you need a fourth guy, but Anderson is the wild card, right?
That's like, my man.
Be healthy, live up to his potential. That's a special player, right?
Yeah.
Just, we don't know. But if he is healthy, this is a good group at minimum. Mm-hmm. Like, the floor is fairly high, and the ceiling could be a lot higher if he can really live up to what he's expected to be. So I think the fact that they haven't really touched that yet, probably won't worry about it until, you know, day three of the draft or after the draft tells you how they feel about it. New coaching staff knows what they have, though, or knows what they hope they have with Anderson. Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. wild. It's what's wild how the linebacking, we talked about it last week, how the linebacker position has changed so much over the years. I mean, like, the guys have to be basically like large, very ridiculous athletes to play linebacker now in the NFL. Like, you got to be able to cover, you got to be able to rush passer, you got to be able to, you know, tackle well, like all those things. Like, it's becoming a very difficult position to find like really good dudes at, because you don't see that many just like stud linebackers across the league, as you've seen, you know, in the past. You know, it's a lot of it too. So many teams are in nickel and dime all the time, so you're only seeing one or two out there anyway. You know, I mean, it's mostly safety or a third safety or possibly, you know, an extra corner out there. But I got to mention too. So Caden Ellis's little brother Jonah, you see his numbers that he put up?
Yeah,
pretty solid, man. Worked out yesterday. Ended up being a 6 foot two, 243 pounds, 38 inch vertical, 10 foot bar jump, 4.17 shuttle, and a 6.69 three cone, which anything under 7 for a three cone is really damn impressive. And that typically, like, you know, if y'all listen to Locked On with Aaron will like tell you all the time, like, a three cone is something that definitely translates typically to a good pass rusher, you know, in the NFL. And I would take a shot at Mr. Jonah Ellis later on. Why not, man? And one Ellis worked out pretty well, you know. If he could be another one later on in the draft, you know, why not? But hopefully, said we should load up on defense in the draft. Hopefully getting tackles late, preferably pass blocking. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly, man, exactly. Let's see. And do we double dip at any position this year? My thoughts, possibly wide receiver or corner. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I could see corner. Even with the additions that we've seen to this point, I could also see them double dipping on the defensive interior, which isn't necessarily a huge need. You've got some bodies there, but you have to remember that both of the guys are going to be relying on to start, and Eddie Goldman, if he ends up sticking around, are on the wrong side of 30. And you know, Jarrett's coming off a fairly significant injury. It's not going to slow him down. He's Grady Jarrett. I love that man. You know, maybe you start thinking about bringing in a couple guys as insurance to get into the rotation. And if you like their upside, coach them up, bring them up, have one start down the line.
Timbo Slice says, for me, it's got to be Law too. Just way more polished than both other guys. Versus number two for me, Turner is just way too raw with technique and pass rush moves. We're going to take in the top 10.
Well, Mike. A wild profile pick you have there, buddy. That's hilarious.
He said, I wish I could figure out why Turner is so raw with Anderson and Braswell are top tier technique under that same elite coaching staff. What was the issue for 3 years under the same coaching staff? You know, he actually, like I said, he improved. First year, he kind of relied on speed a lot. And then second year, you could see him start using his hands more. Third year, he was, like I said, using that – he'd use a long arm on – he would – I forgot what game it was, but he literally pushed a tackle with his left arm directly back into the quarterback and just drove him back. He's got some sneaky power in there. And it's – that's, to me, like, those techniques, those traits can really be honed in with a really good coaching staff in the NFL. Like, that's when you – really, really, you know, refine those techniques and build those techniques. So, I like him a lot, but again, my goal would be to trade back, man, and Jojo Boy said, I think Jenner is focused on using his athleticism. And that's what a lot of guys, like I said, even before, not even involved in Turner, but just guys in college in general, a lot of times they can win just based on their athleticism or based on one move in college game. But when you get to the pros, you can't just have one move. You know, you're going to have tackles that can just disrupt that with easily, you know. So you're going to have, you know, what's your secondary, you know, can you bull rush, can you speed rush, you know, can you dip under, like all those things come into play when you get to NFL. So any three I'm good with. Jay said, when it comes to speed and power, upside is Turner. About like Latu though. Does the injury thing at all worry you at all with Latu, or are you kind of like, yeah, he's good to go, he's cleared?
I kind of look at it as, you know, obviously if you're coming in like if you're coming in like a Marcus Lattimore, right, where your knees are just toast and you know it, coming into the NFL, like that's one thing. But if you're cleared, if it's not like every single year you got something going on, like I tend not to worry too much about it. You can only do the research you can do as a team and take some things on faith. And to me, that doesn't scare me enough to say no to Latu at all.
Yeah, I agree. And Berto said, versus more rounded edge, but Latu offers what will be asked in this scheme. Run stopper and drop into covers. And that's huge. Yeah, and you got to be able, if you can't drop into covers now as an edge, then you offer a little bit less and can't be on the field for all three downs. You know, so And then he agrees. I just like Verse Switch. That motor is really, yeah, Verse's motor and his power is stupid. I mean, when you watch it on film, it's really damn good. And he's like, I mean, like you said earlier in the show, Dave, I mean, like when you think of like an Edge, like this kind of like body type, everything, that's just kind of what you think of. It's like that's what it is. And like you said last year, I mean, we were all kind of considering like, oh, that'd be a really good pick if he comes out, you know, and chose to stay. And I think it was kind of rumored that the Falcons were interested in Whoop last year, you know? So, I mean, like that, man, maybe that has something, you know, maybe that's something to say too. And Timmy said, I'll say this for Verse, considering I'm an FSU fan. I love the dude as a player, but I feel he'll fit a 4-3 than a 3-4. To me, I say I like Latu more than Verse as an FSU fan. Hurts me. Yeah, I hear you, bro. And I said the same thing. I thought Verse fits probably a 4-3 better, but again, if we're in a 3-4, one down per series, I mean, you know, like I don't know if it matters that much anymore. I mean, we're going to be in nickel so much that whatever. Exactly.
I look at that as kind of the same thing as, you know, when Terry says every year, and Dimitrov used to say before him, like, we could stay put, we could trade down, we could trade up. Like, when teams talk about the front they're going to use, they're going to be in everything, you know, it's going to be multiple.
Exactly. And it's a don't sleep on Verse. He could stand up and just dropping in, not dropping into coverage is his fault. Looking for someone to get after. But you got to, the way offenses are now, like they have to be able to have that part of their game. You know, they can't just be a complete liability out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you see, we saw Calais in coverage last year, and that's not where you want to see Calais, but
yeah,
due to the offense that was out there, that's what happened, you know, and it sucks, but you know, that's what happened. Then Chris said, we are drafting Penix State for my boy Berto. No, we're not. No, we're not. I don't even say that. I like him, but that's not going to happen. I'm just going through the comments here, seeing if we have anything else before we get out of here. If we can get a nose tackle throughout. Yeah, there's definitely some good nose tackles throughout the draft for sure. And let's see. Wallace, what's up, buddy? Good to see you, man.
Wallace, what up?
So I think Goldman might actually play for Coach Rod. I think he might too. I think there's a decent chance. You know, like I was jokingly told Dave earlier, he spent 2 years getting just kind of used to the humidity here. Maybe this will stay. But look, and Dempsey said last week on the show too, you know, Jay Rogers, his old defensive line coach, is here now. So, I mean, like maybe all that stuff comes into play, you know, and you know, his body should be in pretty decent shape, not having taken all these hits these last few years. So, you know, the question is when he starts taking those hits again, you know, like, you know, how's that going to feel for him? And is he going to still love it as much as he did or not? But we'll see. Jerome said, do y'all think it's smarter to draft Quinyon Mitchell just in case we decide to let AJ test free agency? That's only if he wants a top five CB money. Question. Dave, what do you think, man? And what do you think? Do you think they're going to extend AJ?
I think they're going to extend AJ. And I'd still consider taking Mitchell, right? Like not so much for – insurance is, you know, if you think he can be a damn good player, which I do, then, you know, you have two great corners. And if for some reason, yeah, you let Terrell walk, then hopefully you got your number one guy there. But otherwise, you get two really good starting corners, and that's great. Like, even if you can't see, and that would be a case where the path to playing time is easy to see, but even if you can't see it right away, don't shy away from a potentially great player. You know, because you might have a situation like that where Terrell walks away, and if not, you'll find a way to use him.
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to Will McFadden on Believe in Falcons, and he brought up a good point too. He said, you know, like it wouldn't be surprising if they view one of these corners as like an all pro guy, compared to like they see an edge as possibly like, you know, a Pro Bowl ish, you know, could be decent. You know, they would be surprised that they took the corner because they see that type of guy in him, you know, and like, and just took maybe trade back up into the first to get another edge or just take one of the lesser edges that are in the draft. And I mean, he's got a good point. That's, you know, that's a possibility, you know, definitely is. Let's see. And he said, AJ's not going to want top. I don't think AJ will get top five. I think he'll be in somewhere in that 17 to 18 range, though. I don't think it'll be like 20, but I think he'll be in that range from looking at what other guys around that lead is made probably at his, you know, at his level. But, and I agree. I think they're going to extend them to at some point. I don't think they're going to let them test free agency because then you got a bidding war and it's just not going to be a good thing for anybody. But Mike, you got anything else for Dave, buddy, before we close it down?
You know I got some nonsense for Dave. Dave, I got one nonsense question for you, man. I know you up top, which has the best bread. I don't know if anybody know that, but up top, the bread tastes different. I got to ask you, I'm going to name some few. If you had to eat one form of bread for the rest, if you could only pick one, would you pick garlic bread? Would you pick an everything bagel? Would you pick a croissant, raisin bread, wheat bread, white bread, an English muffin, or cornbread? You can only pick one for the rest of your life. Which one are you going with?
Man. I got to go with either white or wheat bread. I got to think about that. It's the utility, right? Like garlic bread is the greatest, but I'm not putting peanut butter and jam on some garlic bread, man. I got limits, so you got to go with the classics. I miss garlic bread a lot, but I'd probably take white bread. You know, like
white bread.
That's your utility guy. Does everything.
Man, what you doing, John?
Yeah, I probably agree with him on that because I love garlic bread's gonna get old for a while. You're gonna start getting some indigestion after a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gotta be probably white that you can get some mobility out of. Yeah, because you want to have some PBJs and some all kinds of stuff.
You said you got to do utility. I just had to ask.
Yeah, Timbo said I'm all on board. Trade back if possible. How about we double dip and get both Turner at 8, trade back and get Latu at 25. I don't think Latu will be there at 25. If he is, then that'd be interesting. But I don't see him dropping that far. It'd be cool if he did, and that's something that I think Mike, I think you asked him like if it was Verse or and Latu, would you take those two over Dallas? I'm like, well, yeah, hell yeah, of course, no doubt about it. At least she's going cornbread on that one, Mike.
She's going cornbread, man. You gonna be big as a house. You only eat cornbread. So I got one more for you, Dave. It pains me to even ask, because I'm scared of your answer, but is Matt Ryan capable of being a backup in the NFL, or is Matt Ryan, he need to go home and spend time with his wife or stay up in that booth? Or is he capable if he were called on to be a backup somewhere?
Yeah. So let's take that as a two-part question, right? So okay. Is he capable? Yes.
Okay.
As a backup in the NFL? Yes, of course. He's, you know, scheme dependent. But like for the wealth of expertise that he brings, you know, still the level of talent. Yes, he can be a backup quarterback in this league.
Okay.
Second part of the question is, not doing that.
You Sorry. Say he wouldn't do. What was the second part?
I would say he's not going to come back.
No. Yeah, he's not going to do it.
No way. Yeah.
Yeah. Quarterback right, coach, Matty Ice. Come on, man.
I'd get some magical music going in there.
I think, yeah. I think he's great in the booth.
He's happy doing it.
I do too.
It's been really fun to watch him there. But to me, like, he could still do it. But I bet you now that he's up in that booth and he's living that life, he's probably done. Yeah.
Good answer, Dave.
Yeah, that was great.
He didn't break my heart. He let me down easy. I love it.
Exactly. Man, Timbo said, great work, fellas. Thanks for replying. Some of my posts, that was dope. Can't say I've had other people do that in these videos. Definitely going to subscribe for me. Appreciate you. But hey, man,
you guys are the reason
that we do this, man. And so, yeah, we love it. Anytime y'all want to contribute to the conversation, man, we love it. Now, I can't always get every comment on the show, obviously, because we can't be here all night, but I try to get to whatever we can. And he said, if Noodle Arm quitter, Mariota can be a backup. Ryan for sure can.
Thank you, Timbo.
Absolutely. And by the way, Mariota's wearing 0 this year in Washington, which is hilarious.
That's perfect. You know what? He should be the only player in the history of the league who got like a -1 before on his jersey. It's to say -1. That's what should be his jersey number. But 0, yeah. I'll take 0.
Hilarious. All right, man. Well, we're going to get out of here, man.
Thank you so much, Dave, again, man. Thank you, buddy. Always.
Yeah. Always a great time. I always look forward to those questions at the end, too.
Always.
The next one we'll try to do, you know, obviously we'll have we'll play one of the games, you know, when we have less to talk about, which you know, maybe after the draft, something like that, we'll get you back on. But let the folks know where they can find you and what's coming down the pike at the Falcoholic.
At the Falcoholic on Twitter and all the other Twitter like platforms, if eventually that goes under. At the site, I think we're, you know, gearing up for the draft. I think it's going to be a lot of prospect profiles, mock drafts, team needs, et cetera, until we finally get there. We got something really good to talk about. I'm looking forward to it.
100%, man. Yeah, I can't wait because, like I said before the show, it's finding the content to talk about now. So you're just kind of rehashing stuff and, like, just praying that they make a move or two you can talk about, like, during the week so you can have a good show. But, you know, it gives us time to play stupid games and be silly and have fun with it. So, yeah, we don't hate it all that much. But yeah, man. So, all right, guys, we appreciate y'all checking us out tonight on Tuesday. We'll be back Sunday night with One Time for the Fan at 8 p.m. So make sure y'all check us out there and check out One Time for the Fan while you're at it. And Lisa said, are you going to the draft, Dave?
I wish I was. I don't think anybody from our team is going this year, but that's a great question. I got to check.
Yeah. Damski might be going, actually, because he's up in Canada. Damski. 2 hours from there.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can just sneak over the border. Yeah.
Exactly.
Double A said square root of negative one is I, or what's known as an imaginary number in math. So he could wear an I. Yeah, there you go.
Nice work, hopefully. Nice work. Anyway, like I said, you guys check us out Sunday night. And next week, we'll probably be back on Tuesday again because I'm pretty sure my son's got baseball again next weekend. So on those baseball weeks, we have to basically record on Tuesday because every other day is taken up. So we'll be back then. And you guys can also email us, atlfalconfancast@gmail.com, if you'd like to send in any emails, any comments that you can't get on the show, or you just wanted to, you know, any story you want to share with us, feel free. You follow us on Twitter, Out of Your Effing Mind, TikTok, Instagram, Out of Your Falcon Mind. And, you know, we're starting to get more active. We're getting back into it now. Can't wait for the draft. We'll be live here doing the draft show just one night because we can't do all 3 days. We'll be doing the first round. It'll be us. It'll be guys from the New Millennium Falcons podcast. I think it's going to be pound for pound JR and Jonathan. We got to confirm that, but it should be like a triple cast with all of us on here just talking about the pick and just having fun like we did last year. So that's the idea. So make sure y'all check us out for that. Appreciate y'all again for checking out tonight. Dave, always a pleasure, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dave.
Mike, take us out,
brother. Be on, guys.
Out of your Falcon mind. Peace.